a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Every Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh to everyone out there. Good morning to you all. You are welcome to Everyday Muslim, the show where we delve into the art of faith and its relevance to our daily lives, exploring unique topics that dwell on our day-to-day activities. I am your host, Rashida Adetun Okeolani, also known as Olori Adetun. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. And we are happy to have you to join us in this conversation. This episode, of course, as usual, just like others, promises to be educating, thought-provoking, and spiritually uplifting. Today's topic is the Caravan of Hope, reflecting on seeking forgiveness and mercy. We will be exploring the importance of turning back to Allah with sincerity, understanding His boundless mercy and the hope that lies in seeking His forgiveness. As Allah reminds us in the Holy Quran, He says, "All my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is forgiving, who is merciful." This can be got from Quran 39, verse 53. And also the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Allah is more pleased with the repentance of His servants than one of you who suddenly finds his camel after losing it in a barren land." To help us unpack today's topic, we have a special guest with us live in the studio, and he is Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, sir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah. Before we move on, I would like us to set the tone of today, taking us and making us connect spiritually with a beautiful nasheed, which is titled "Forgive Me, Allah." I want us to go along with the readings and understand, turn to Allah in humility and repentance. We'll be right back.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling, I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying, Lord, I'm calling, I need your help. I don't wanna fight no more, I don't wanna fight this war. Oh na na, oh na na, oh na na na. I don't wanna fight no more, I don't wanna fight this war. Oh na na, oh na na, yeah. Astaghfirullah. Is frozen, I need your help. 'Cause people always let me down, I'm losing all my air right now. I'm suffocating, I might drown. I need your help. I don't wanna fight no more. I don't wanna fight this war. Oh na na, oh na na, oh na na na. I don't wanna fight no more.
Alhamdulillah, Bilamin. Ya Allah, we need your help. Forgive us our sins. Amen. And I said earlier on that I have my guest here, Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba. He is a teacher, a founder, husband, mentor, and many more. He is the founder of an Islamic Institution Center in Idimu, where Quran and Islamic legislation is being taught in its adequate form. He is a married counselor, a public analyst on TV and radio. He is a publicity ambassador. Ha! If I start counting this, too. And of course, he is an imam in Adangba Central Mosque, Idimu, Alimosho local government area of Lagos State. He's going to be shedding more light on this topic. Because while I was even listening to the nasheed, I was getting carried away. And I was trying to resonate and think about it deeply. How we seek for forgiveness from Almighty Allah. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, Remain Radio. Our phone lines will be open shortly for calls. 07000-917-917. If you'd like to send messages via SMS or WhatsApp, 070-317-565-37. We'll be glad to hear your thoughts on this topic. Imam, as we reflect on seeking forgiveness and mercy, can you share with us why these two qualities are so central to our faith and how they shape our relationship with Allah?
And humanity.
Yes.
Shape our relationship with Allah.
With Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. All adoration and thanks belongs to Allah. And eulogies and praises belongs to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has been our guiding light since close to 1,500 years ago, when he was sent with that message of mercy, message of hope, and aligned it with that caravan of hope. And he aligned it with Al-Istighfar. So thanks to Allah once again, and thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah.
You see, Al-Istighfar is a noun. Al-Ghufran is a real verb in Istighfar. Ghufran too would be a noun, but it's an infinite verb. So the act of seeking forgiveness, Istighfar, when you say Astaghfirullah, it is when the action is being perfected. So why Istighfar? What is Istighfar? Istighfar has three vital meanings which made us attach it with mercy. And when we say mercy, people may be thinking of material. No, it's not about material. Istighfar is an act of everlasting peace for the person that is seeking the Istighfar, from the person that gives peace. That deity that gives it peace is Allah. It is also a psychological influence on the state of the mind of a tortured person. So when you are tortured or you want to torture anybody, you will find a psychological influence in telling you what to do and what not to do. And number three, Istighfar is the only act to the road of stopping wickedness. When you do Istighfar a lot, you will not be wicked. And when you are not wicked, you have an internal peace. So this is the case of Istighfar. It is also regarded as the power of getting mercy. It is also categorized as a power on working on how to get mercy. And again, it is classified as a power for receiving that mercy after you might have perfected the acts of why you should receive mercy, which is Istighfar. Istighfar is not just the wordings. Istighfar is more of the act. The act of Istighfar is given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Al-Imran, which is chapter 3, where Allah says to the Holy Prophet in verse 159 that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, what is istighfar? And he says, Fabima rahmatin. You see, the mercy was given forth before the act. Fabima rahmatin min Allah. It is by the mercy of Allah. You see, when it comes before, means solely the mercy of Allah. Fabima rahmatin min Allah. You have been lenient on them. So you have been accepted by them. You have been projected for them to look like this. So that's rahmah, which is what we call mercy, is a state where acceptance of being is effected. So Allah now says there are 3 rules to it. Number 1, fa'fu anhum, you must overlook things for them, because man, as a man is being classified, when you say insan, somebody that forgets too much. So you must see them from the path of ignorance. So look away from a lot of sins. But there is something hidden there. I'll come to that. And it says, wastaghfir lahum, that kalma istighfar, the word istighfar, wastaghfir lahum, seek forgiveness for them. So that has something in it too. And washawirhum fil amur, when you finish looking away from their sins, when you finish acting, asking for forgiveness for them, share whatever feel amen, then teach them, dialogue with them, let them see from the point of view that yes, this is what we should project. So when you are looking at looking away from their sins, see them from the path of ignorance. So teach them, which is the first injunction of the Holy Quran. Read. How do you read when you are not being taught? It's only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was asked to read, and he too was taught by Angel Gabriel. So Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq, read in the name of your dialogue that creates. Then he started reading with the power that Gabriel brought to him. So you will teach them, for anyone, see them from the path of ignorance. So before you act, you must be lenient by seeing people from the act of ignorance. So when you now affirm that they are acting from the path of ignorance, then wastaghfirullah, moderate between them and whoever they might have offended from their mistakes. Moderate between them and their mistakes. Moderate between them and those that have made mistakes too. So when somebody is doing anything against Allah, committing vices, committing atrocities, then you can see that they are coming from the path of ignorance. If they really know what is going to be the after effect of that thing, they wouldn't have done it. So moderate with them. Let them know that, oh no, if you do it this way, it's going to be the result. It's automatic. Because the world itself rules on the automatic wheels. So it's automatic. That moderation is the act of istighfar. So, which means you yourself as a person must moderate between yourself and yourself. So you are going to see the moderation in 3 forms. The moderation will be in what? In 3 forms. The first form is when you moderate between yourself and yourself. You know, a man can offend himself. A human being can offend himself or herself because the person cannot maintain a level of awareness he or she has not attained. So in a situation where you find yourself in that shoe, make sure you moderate between yourself and yourself and retrain yourself that this is the way I must act. So doing that is an act of istighfar. Because it is not just about when somebody recites or enchants istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. It's not for you to get anything out of the way. It's for you to moderate between yourself and yourself and to react in a more positive way than what you have done earlier. Number 2 is moderating yourself between yourself and your Creator. Your Creator has regulated you with some laws and orders in the Quran. He has sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a practical instance to you to learn how to behave. Now you have urged. You have urged by not following those regulations and not aligning with those regimentations. So if you do that, and you did not do it well. And you know the only person that will reward you with the result of what you have done is Allah. Then you can call for that moderation between yourself and Allah. Oh Allah, I have sinned. Please forgive me. That was when you realized initially that you do not have to clear yourself of sins. You do not have to sanctify yourself. But after following the injustice of Allah and you see where you have made mistakes, you should, by force, by fire, moderate between yourself and your God. And the third one is the moderation between you and the other person. Begging people for an offense you have committed against them will moderate yourself with them, and as such represent you as a good person. So istighfar is an act of begging for something you had made mistake upon and you want it corrected. So the slogan that we had in the world before, that you should forgive and forget, has been recoined by Islam as forgive and correct. It's not forgive and forget, it's forgive and correct. The moment you forgive, it is totally impossible, 100% and one impossible, to forgive who has ever wronged you and forget it. No, you would only look away from it, which is a false rule given to the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Look away from it. But he followed it with a most powerful one. What's the firlahum? That is, seek for forgiveness from them and moderate between yourself and the person by saying, please forgive me and correct me so that I do not repeat the same offense again. It is only when you understand that you will not fall in the same hole again, or the same pit. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, As-sa'idu, the successful one, man wa'iza bighayrihi, somebody who has learned from the mistakes of others. So you are going to learn from the mistakes of others. So it's not forgive and forget, but forgive and correct. These are the three things that you are going to meet in istighfar itself. Then coming down, to break it down again, when you are moderating between yourself and yourself, it's not that you are doing istighfar for yourself, but you are trying to correct what will even lead you to saying astaghfirullah. Just in the personal interactions with human beings like yourself, with the world that you are created in, with the acts and deeds that you want to do, what do you do?
Imam. Yeah. With this your last statement, I have a question for that. What are the steps that a person who feels spiritually adrift to take, as in to rekindle their relationship with Allah and find the courage to approach his boundless forgiveness and mercy?
Yeah. It is easy. First ask yourself, what is the desire of Allah in humanity?
Imam, you said it's easy.
Yes, very easy.
Okay.
It's so just for you to know it. Yeah, you know the tracks. When you know the last, you learn the tricks of the tracks. What is it? What is the desire of Allah in creation? Simple. It is welfareism. Welfareism. And when there is an adequate welfareism, what do you get? Peaceful existence and coexistence. Peaceful existence for your life and your livelihood, and peaceful coexistence with others in your neighborhood or even in your world. So welfareism is the essence of why Allah has created us. Abi, then what do you do? Do you offend Allah directly, or you offend Allah mostly through interactions with men?
That's good.
So the only situation where you offend Allah that will not have a positive effect for you is when you commit shirk with Allah. You find that associated with him. And he has said, Inna Allah lan yakfira, in chapter 4, that Inna Allah, definitely Allah will not forgive those who find an associate with him and call other small gods Allah. So that is why, in that aspect, there is no other thing that will make you offend Allah directly. You offend Allah through humanity. When you commit zina, you offend Allah through your neighbor. You offend Allah through the other person. When you steal, you offend Allah through the other person. Just look at everything we live with in the world. We offend Allah through the other person. So in that aspect, what do you do? Is it by finishing the offense, committing the offense, and you hold your rosary as I say, no. Allah said in Surah Tawbah chapter 9 that you can only say istighfar when you have corrected the anomaly between you and the other person. That is when you say tawbatan nasuhan, and istighfar you have sought from Allah and you are not going to repeat the same. You understand? So that is why it is very easy. You have to go and learn, what are these mistakes? What are these atrocities? What are these wrongs that will have done to the other person that will now, when you say your istighfar, one will not be enough. You can see the easiness of it. But when you don't have the knowledge of what will drive you into a sincere istighfar, then you are still in the sin. And people that are embezzling, it is because they don't know. Imagine someone stealing from the coffers of the government the public money of a 1 billion. That person, if he spends 600,000 naira per day, he will spend it for 54 years. And now, at what age is he stealing? Why is he sure that he's going to live for the next 54 years? Look at all those things. So because he doesn't know, he will think what he has done is good, but because he has damaged the livelihood of others, he has committed a sin. Istighfar is not enough. Go and correct first. You seek for forgiveness and correct your mistake. Then when you correct that mistake, you now come back to Allah and say, oh Allah, I have erred against one of the principles of creation, which is welfareism. Then you correct it and return to status quo. So this is why it is very easy. So in that aspect, you have gained two things. One, you gain a peace of mind for yourself, knowing very well that at the end of the day, you are going to end up where Allah says He has promised for those who do good. Then number two, you have submitted to a creation you have no power on. You are coming to the world, don't have a power on it. The life you use, you don't have a power on it. But you have a power on making that life a good one by making the whole atmosphere a good one for people to live in and exist within themselves. So that is submission. So from welfareism, you have peace. From peace, you have submission. And let me tell you, the submission is here. But the result is there in the hereafter. But the peace is here and in the hereafter. The peace in the hereafter belongs to you directly, but the peace here belongs to you and others. So in the Jannah, you don't have to share with others because your place is your place. And you enjoy while others enjoy. My enjoyment and your enjoyment are not going to be the same. But they are going to be an enjoyment who will enjoy at the atmosphere of eternal peace. So this is exactly what it is.
Wow. This is really deep. Imam.
Yeah.
As I've explained, it is easy. May Allah make it easy for every one of us.
Just be conscious. So the moment you are conscious of your acts, then it is easier for you to say Asafullah and He will grant it immediately. And when they say Asafullah is attached to mercy, it is very simple too. Anybody that has mercy is a person that could assess himself or herself before being assessed. Materialism is not mercy. It's not mercy. The act of understanding that when I'm sleeping, I sleep with my two eyes. I sleep with my safe sound health. I sleep with my safety within the environment where I live, because I have understood that what I give to others is going to come back to me. That's why Allah says, "Man amila salihan falinafsi." When you do one good, it is for yourself. So if all of us are doing it, we can see how easy it is. Now, what are we doing? What are we committing atrocities for? We are committing atrocities for material gains.
Okay.
Are you getting it?
Yes, I get
when
you.
While you are dying, you are not taking anything along with you.
Yeah, I am.
Even your name will be dropped.
Before. Of course. That's it's a very deep one, actually. Yeah. It's very, very deep. If you're able to think about it the way you have said it and make use of it. You mentioned being able to sleep sound with our eyes closed and peacefully around them, the environment that we find ourselves. Yeah, yes. Are these the signs of that Allah has accepted our repentance?
So that is the message. So it's not how many food you have in your house that they have not eaten. Who told you that that one in the house we kept in the kitchen is going to be eaten by you in the next hour? You may not exist anymore. But when you are going that, oh, even that one I left behind, somebody is going to eat it. And the compensation will come to me. So mercy, when we say mercy, we think it is the material gains. No. It is the internal influences that will cause an affluence to the existence of others.
Okay. So for the benefit of our listeners, uh-huh, I would like you to give us reminders from the Quran and the Sunnah that can reassure us in the moments of our doubts. As people that are doubting in that, am I sure? He said, if I sleep peacefully, if I close my eyes, said, can you give us Quranic verses? And
let me give you one, just one verse.
Okay.
You can go into the Quran and read further. Before that verse and after that verse. In Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, I don't like mentioning chapters, but that's chapter 49, verse 43. It says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. For anyone who can be patient, see what God put forward, patient, and forgive. If you critically sit down and look at patience and forgiveness, where are they meeting? Yeah, you now have to bring your life into the fore here and categorize your existence into patience and forgiveness. It is sure that there is no way a human being will make a mistake. Do you get it? So the patience now will come to those, at the beginning it will come to those who are elderly than the one that is committing mistake, who are knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than those who are committing the mistake. It will be as a tool of teaching everybody that want to copy or emulate you, for those who are before. Then, for those who are coming to meet those ones that have been existing before you, if you could be patient to understand that you did not grow from the first day you are born to what you are today, be patient that life is about graduality, gradual effect. Two, life is about learning. Because when you commit a mistake and you are shown the right path, you don't say, oh, ya leta kawmi ya lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukarramin. Oh, it's a wrath for those. If they had known that even after mistakes or before mistakes, I've been created to be a person that will cleanse others and clear the road for them. So how many of us has cleared road for those coming behind us? How many of us have been patient with those who are coming, that the same mistake we made, they are going to make it, but we must teach them not to make it again. Not forgive and just overlook what they have done. Forgive and correct what they have done. So Allah says that patience and seeking for forgiveness from that person that had missed it, from those he made the mistakes to, and seeking for Allah's forgiveness, that you have affected and inflicted injury upon creatures of Allah, for those who will be able to seek Allah to give them that, Allah says, for you to have patience and for you to forgive, it is very, very hard. So when you want to, and in the first one that I gave you in chapter 159 of chapter 3 of 159, verse 159, he says at the end of the day, he said, when you dialogue with them, when Azanta, when you are now ready to take a decision, fatawakkal ala Allah, then you now place your trust in Allah, because Allah loves those who put his trust in them. Then it means that even if you have heard and you are sincere and you are honest, then that wrong that you have done will be taken by Allah as a point of view to be guided to what you should do. So these are what is in it. You see, it's not just mere act of taking our rosaries and say asafullah, asafullah. That asafullah you are saying, what exactly have you done wrong? If you know what you have done wrong, then you know focus while you are reciting asafullah and chanting that istighfar. You now reflect that this is what I've done. I'm not going to go there again because I want the other person to have peace, so that I can have peace. That's why we are giving two hands. One will complement the other. From those two ants, we must understand that there is a stick farm. When this one is getting weaker, this one complements it and they take it up. So when you are getting weaker, what about the other person? What have you thought about of the other person? So when you don't pray for somebody, you don't get the prayer. But when you, as a Muslim, you come in and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as if you have prayed for them. You have asked for blessings and mercy for them. And they return same to you. Imagine you are facing 100 people and you alone say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How many will all of them be back? 100. So who has more? You. So the understanding that you must give to get is the art of a stick farm.
Jazakallah khairan, Imam. It's time for us to open our phone lines. If you are just joining us, you are tuned to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Our phone lines are now open to call 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Prefer to send messages, SMS or WhatsApp 07031756537. Imam, you said something about when you were discussing about Quran 3 verse 159 about moderation within ourselves.
Yeah.
Why is forgiving oneself an essential part of seeking Allah's mercy? I know you have talked about it briefly, but I would like you to talk about it more, especially when it comes to self-confidence, you being confident yourself that yes, I have forgiven myself and I'm happy with myself now. Because I know that this is one thing that leads a lot of people into depression.
Yep.
Feeling that I've forgiven myself, but am I sure that I know this imposter syndrome also comes in during that process. So I wanted to shed more light on it.
How you can forgive yourself is one thing. What do you want from forgiving yourself? That is one thing you must first understand. You want internal peace. Do you get it? From when you want to forgive yourself, what you want is internal peace. The peace that, you know, you have the epsal gum. In your head, you have the prefrontal region, you have the epsal gum. The epsal gum is so much a tiny piece of brain that comes to control as big as how the prefrontal region is when it comes in with the fear. So whatever you have done to somebody will haunt you. And you will think, oh, how did I take this? But what you do is, number one, think of why you committed the mistake. Now, think of if you correct the mistake, what do you get? Think of if you did not commit that mistake, what should you have gotten? So, when you now see that if you don't commit the mistake, you will have had a peace of mind. And when you get the mistake and you want to correct it, you will have a peace of mind. So, that should be your first focus. Of forgiving yourself, but it is only when you repeat the same wrong, so you have that eternal peace. Because what the Englishman says, what goes around
comes around.
Whatever you do for others, you're going to collect it. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. In a judgment, the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, "Wa inna ma yati anil khasm, you guys brought to me." Or a rancor between you, and someone or one of you may be eloquent than the other, and I judge the person with the eloquency of his presentation. If I dare judge you with the eloquence of a presentation, and you know within you, then it's asking for peace, it's asking for moderation, and you know within you that you are the wrong one, and I judged you right against the other person. You should know that definitely with that judgment, you are going to end in hellfire. Who want to end in hellfire? So the Prophet is consciously judging people from their own consciousness to act with the other person, moderate with the other person the righteous way. And when they do that, it means that the first person will get his right, and the second person will have given his responsibilities. So the act of giving responsibilities for rights is what Islam is teaching us. It's not the act of giving rights for responsibilities. No, responsibilities to right. My responsibility to you, if I'm your husband, is that I should give the provision. Your responsibility to me, if you are the wife, is that should give me the care and concerns. So, but if I usurp yours and you usurp mine, definitely there will not be peace in the house. So, the essence, the first focus for you to understand that if I want to forgive myself, I should first look at the result of that forgiveness. Forgiveness therein is not just forgiveness, it's moderation. So if there's a wrong, kindly accept that, oh, I'm wrong. So the act of not wanting to accept your wrong is why you now go for a lawyer to come and judge you, knowing fully well that you are wrong. So, but if he judges in this world, and you collected what does not belong to you,
Allah will judge you.
Then in Surah, the same chapter 3, Allah says, "Inna la ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan." Allah says, you see, you are not going to come to real forgiveness. Three things you must do. Number one, be just. Assess yourself before you have been assessed by the Holy Prophet. As you assess yourself before you have been assessed, know that what you are doing is wrong and tell yourself that this is wrong and stop yourself from doing it. That's number one. He said, well, ihsan, be kind. When somebody does something negative or wrong to you, be kind enough not to reciprocate with same. Be kind enough to do what one is good. So it's a level one above the other. Justice is the foundation level, then kindness is the second level, and the third one is responsibility to the kith and kin. So when you are responsible to people, definitely when you come back with it, you get more. So that is moderation within yourself by yourself, and that is the act of istighfar. So the saying of istighfar is just to take you to the act of istighfar. It's not just to say that's a full no. That's not just it. The act of saying istighfar will take you to the real act of perfecting istighfar in daily dealings. Now this is what we need as Muslims. So as you are, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should be afraid of hellfire, even if it is just with a small kindness of one quarter of a full cooler to stop yourself from going to hellfire. What is that dealing with? It's simply telling you, you should be moderate in your dealings. You should not do things that will hurt others. And when you say one, that, oh Allah, suffering, oh Allah, forgive me, He will definitely forgive you. But when you have made somebody cry, the Prophet told us another thing. He says, three prayers are not going to be returned. Either they are done consciously or unconsciously. One, the prayer of the oppressed. Anybody that shouts to Allah, oh Allah, be oppressed, take care of me, take charge for me. The person that oppressed the person saying that prayer is in trouble in the sight of Allah. Not today, it will come tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it will get to his children and his grandchildren. The prayer of the parents who have suffered and toiled so much to bring you to what you are, and you made them cry. When they pray, they're in trouble. So, see, the act is what the Prophet needs. The act is what Allah needs. It's not just saying. So as I follow in that aspect, if it's a small pointing at my, moderation, forget it. It's not istighfar. And in any moderation, there's an act of kindness. And from moderation to kindness, it will lead you to eternal peace. Internal and eternal peace. You'll get it and get it for
people. Yeah, Imam. Black law, Karen. We're talking about ourselves. But there's some people that often they go back to Allah and they trap themselves in that circle of repeating sins. Yeah. Repeating it. How can they move away from it? You know, when you do something that is bad today, you say, Asafil Allah, forgive me. You know that Allah has forgiven you. You believe that Allah has forgiven you. But at the same time, there is still this temptation that will take you back into that sin, and it's a continual thing. How can they finally leave that sin? And
they should not understand three vital things. Decadence. That's number one. How do things become bad? They should understand why things go bad for three things. Number one, the economic effects of where and how they live. Number two, the social influences of where and how they live. And number three, the family factors in how they live. So if those three things are taken cognizance of, then definitely a man will be able to retrieve himself from bad acts. Number one, economic factors. Have you ever asked yourself that when I finish eating this morning, I may not live to eat in the afternoon. Have you ever asked yourself? Has a person ever asked himself that this life I'm using is not mine? You and I can take it any time. But what do I tell him when I get there? So don't let the persuasion of economic balancing take you out of being good. If you want to go out, they should recall that the balancing in the economy of their existence should be that which has a lot of understanding of what adverse effects are, which is the adversity. The second one is the social effect. So the Yoruba says, I want to be in the club of those who are rich. What are you doing to be rich? Have you ever learned how they became rich? So must you be rich? By all means.
And that I promise you richness.
That I promise you wealth. So then the one he has given you, have you ever sat down and reflect on it? If you reflect, have you ever sat down and repair on your errors? If you do reflection and do repairing, have you ever sat down and think of how to resource yourself to get to greater heights? So if you know those three, you will not go on perpetrating atrocities every time. And number three is you to be conscious of the knowledge that you have acquired. And it's in the three foundations. The knowledge of Allah, who He is, what He is, and how does He act. So the moment you know that Allah is that one that has all powers, and He only uses it when it is right. So if you think it is bad, sit down and look at Him. It's not. Allah is good always. I will not accept anything except that which is good.
Good.
Number two. The breathing up and down that you do, if he decides to take it, who will stop you?
Nobody.
And number three, when it's even now giving you the results, which is automatic, the result of whatever your acts are automatic. He has said it in Quran chapter 17, Quran 16, verse 17, that kullu insanin azamnahu ta'irahu fi unki. Every human will have his acts and deeds rolled into a cassette and hung on his neck, and it will be taken out for him on the day of judgment, and it will be ordered to read by himself, and it will be ordered to judge himself. So if you know that, why do you perpetuate yourself in the acts of perpetuating atrocities? No. So if you are into any act and you cannot go out of that act, check yourself economically. If it is about economy, do away with the economy and go elsewhere. And the only Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sit always, wine always, dine always with those who will make you remember yourself in the sight of Allah. So you will now go out of that area and go to other places where you want to start afresh. And then you start saying istighfar till you die because of the mistakes you have committed earlier.
Imam, yes. The one you said last now, dining with those people that will make you move close to Almighty Allah. There are lots of distractions in this world.
Yes, there is.
Both for the young and the adults.
Yes.
But can you give us...
Please put an adjective. Allowed distractions.
Allowed, okay. Allowed distractions. Okay.
Identify you with that.
Okay, but you know that sometimes that a person might not even know. Some people don't even know what they want.
You see, he allows it. Because how can you be living without knowing what you want? What do you want? You are going to school. This is where we make mistakes here. We send children to school, go and learn. What are they learning? So we refuse to understand what is the difference between education, learning, and training. There are three vital things. They're different from one another. So you have educated illiterates. They just went, collect the papers of the university, of no use. They don't know what to do. They don't know what the result of what they are learning, they don't even know it. So the government just realized it in this part of the world, and they are now crying for vocational training, because it is only in that I will be able to perfect what they're doing. So most people go to school, they just go and learn what are they giving out, what are they giving back. So this is where you must be in this world and know why you are created. And that is why we are now looking forward to how to make imams in the mosque, train those in the mosque. Some people understood the Quran, but when they are given the exegesis, which is called tafsir of the Quran, you know, it is with the tool of understanding that you have, you'll be able to understand what God is saying. Mm-hmm. If you don't go beyond the primary level, you'll be saying jargon to those who are in the secondary school and the tertiary level. So you have to go to the topmost end and be able to come and deal with people with who they are. Every person sitting in front of you, they are 1,000, they have 1,000 perceptions. So how do you come into a central perception that everybody will share his own? So as a learned person, you have to remember the verse of Allah that says, "Ma arsalna min rasulin," we are not going to send a messenger. That is the imam, the chief imam, the ordinary imam. I'm not going to say that except with the culture of the people. The translation of lisan is the tongue, but the tongue is the culture. So with the culture of the people, you'll be able to teach them. You'll be able to talk to them with what they know. You're not going to be coming here and speaking in the mosque to people who are Yorubas with English. It will never be enough. Speak to them in Yoruba, then the translation will come to them direct, and they'll be able to desist from evil and perfect that which is good.
Exactly, Karen. So let me go back to my question. You said allowed distraction.
Yes.
Okay. Allow distraction and struggles.
Yes.
How can we maintain unshakable faith in Allah's mercy and remain steadfast in seeking His forgiveness?
No, you have to understand that faith must be shaken.
At all.
Faith must be shaken. You see, Islam, when we are going into the attributes of faith, there are 6 or 7 that you have to believe in them the way it is transferred to you. Allah, do you see Him? Mm-mm. Allah, you must believe in Allah. Do you see Him? No.
No.
But the last verse, 287 of chapter 2, says, "Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi." He believed without questioning of what was sent to him. So Amana Billah should believe in Allah. Wa Rasuli is to believe in the prophets that he does not see that they are learned about them in the Quran. The books which are alive, the books are alive. The Old Testament, the Torah is alive. The Gospel, which is known as Bible, is alive. The Quran is alive, and the Zabur is alive. And if you look at those books, they complement each other. They do not antagonize themselves. Oh. It is only a malunderstanding of who the man of God is that will now interpolate instead of interpreting. So, turning into what Sui saying, and he knows definitely that he's saying the wrong thing. So. You should believe in those books. You should believe in the angels, which is 3. You should believe in Qadr, which is 4. You should believe in Hellfire, which is 5. You should believe in Al-Jannah, which is 6. So this was is there. And at that point, sometimes you may sit down to ask questions. Who is Allah? Okay, you can't get the answer. Okay, how did he get there? And the Prophet has warned us that Allah told him and this to say that la tatafakkaru an zati, don't think about how I got here and who am I. But tatafakkaru an khalqi, think about what I have done and see what I have done. If you do think about me and you continually think about me, you perish. But if you think about what I have done, you say alhamdulillah. So iman is classified into 7 stages. That's the belief, the faith itself. So that's why it should be shakable. The first part of iman is nafsul amara, where you have something just consciously telling you I'm wrong. Warning. That's a warning nerves. When you overcome the warning nerves and you have learned, you can only get out of that first one by learning so much about what you should do. When you in salat, you should learn what you should do. In zakat, you should learn how to do it. In siyam, which is fasting, you should learn what to do. And in hajj, you should learn what to do. Then after knowing what to do, then you grow to the second level. That is why in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, "Innal muslimina wal mu'minina wal qanitina wal hafizina." You see, He sets that those 9 stages. Those are the levels of faith. So it should be shaking, but you should look for how you are going to make it static and stand on the level that you want.
Imam.
So it is only when you now know the type of iman that you want, then you can say, yes, I can deal with myself now. And I know I'm on the path of Allah. So some things are happening in our society now where we, part of us will say, we are Ahlul Sunnah. Knowing fully well that those others are also practicing Sunnah. So why are we arrogating that Ahlul Sunnah to ourselves? We are all Muslims and we are all Ahlul Sunnah.
Mm.
But if somebody is not perfecting Sunnah, instead of doing away from the person, correct the person. First of all, look away from the mistakes. You are not the one causing the mistake. It is between him and Allah. And who told you that Allah has even accepted what you have done? And who told you that Allah is not going to accept what he's doing? If Allah is looking at him from the point of ignorance, then he can take him. And if Allah is looking at you at the point of knowledge, and say, yet you are not perfecting welfareism on humanity, he may not take you. So we should all accept ourselves, all of us, as Ahlul Sunnah. That's number one. Then number two, we should all make sure that we are on the right course. After having the conviction that this is the path, but there is no one path. There are many paths that leads to Allah.
I think I have quickly, how can we as parents and community leaders instill in the younger generation the values of hope, forgiveness and mercy as cornerstones of their lives?
It is very, very sacrosanct that there is no success without a successor. So if we are saying that, okay, we are going to be the best of men that has evolved for mankind, what are the rules that Allah says you should do? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. Legalize those that are good, those things that are good. Watanhauna anil munkar. Prohibit that which is wrong and unwanted. Watuminuna billah. And believe in the attributes of faith. So those three things are the foundations that we have to give to those coming behind us. So how do they do it? How do they make sure that they perfect it? It's what is next. And that is what the mosque should upload. All mosques should upload it. You see, part of the mosque is the madrasa. The madrasa is where we catch them young, teaching them what to do before taking them into salat. Teaching them what to do before taking them into siyam. Teaching them what to do before taking them into Hajj and Zakat. So that work is what the mosque should do. Then the mosque should, on every weekend and every Sunday, like tomorrow, when everybody is going to work, after Subuh, let all male and female over there give 1 hour corrective or correction program that people would be would ask questions. Make it an interactive thing. People will ask questions and they will know. And let the imam be very versatile of what the Quran says, of what the hadith says, of what even other books like the Bible, the Zabur, and the Psalms said. And the Psalms is the Zabur. The Old Testament, which is the Torah, the New Testament, which is the Injil, the Zabur, and what the Quran says. I'm bringing them together so that they will not see those who are not Muslims as non-humans. And they will see that Allah did not give a special future to a Muslim and a non-Muslim. We both have to, we both look alike, and nobody is written on his forehead that this one is a Christian, this one is a Muslim. So you have to deal with them the same way. And all of us as Muslims should not forget that we are ambassadors of Islam. If really we want people to be Islam, then we'll go back to that verse of Quran chapter 49 verse 43, that wala man sabara, those of you who are patient, wa ghafara, and who forgives, for in zalika min azmul umur, is difficult, but when we practice it, then we are Muslims.
Imam, concerning that forgiveness,
yes,
that you mentioned again, I know that you have said something on it before, but at the same time, it's, as you just said now, that it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But what does it really mean to forgive those who have wronged us? And how does extending mercy to others enhance our own pursuit of Allah's forgiveness?
What it really means to forgive those who have hurt us is becoming a guide for the unguided.
How?
Somebody wronged you, and you happen to meet again, and you now forgive him, and you continue on the way you are forgiving. Don't keep short. Tell the person, you did this to me, then I've forgiven it. Now let me correct you so that you don't do it next time. You are creating a peaceful coexistence. The person, leave him and let him go. He will go back to the thing, and the consciousness will be revived. You get that? So it is difficult for you to forgive somebody who has hurt you. But if the person is not coming from three angles, one, blocking you from serving God.
Okay.
Two, taking life that does not belong to him or her, okay, either Muslim or non-Muslim. Number three, hiding, pretending to be good when it's not good. Pretension, you should be able to detect it from very near and from afar. Pretension is very difficult. One poet in Islam says, "Lama afautu," when I overlook things, "wa lam ahkid ala ahadi," and I do not have an internal obsession for anything on anyone. "Arahtu nafsi min hamil adawati," I got that internal peace from everything that disturbs humanity. So this is where we are, madam. You can forgive. You must forgive. And you must correct. Don't forgive and keep silent. Forgive and correct. When you forgive and correct, the person will not repeat the same wrong anymore. And the world, when if everybody around you is now corrected, what do you have?
Peace.
Peace. And that's what we are looking for now. That peace has eluded us in the world. You go here, you go anywhere, you don't find peace. You get afraid of the second person. We should not be. It's because we think only forgiveness seeking is by saying asafuna. We are not putting into our everyday activities. We should involve it in everyday activity, and we should understand forgiveness seeking is moderation in existence.
Zakullah, Karen.
You're welcome.
Say big Zakullah, Karen, to our Imam, Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba. It's been wonderful, as in everything you have said, it's really deep, and I just pray that Allah makes it easy for us to forgive. And you said something, forgive and correct. Yeah. Of course, we cannot forget. As we wrap up today's episode on the topic, the Caravan of Hope, let us remember that seeking forgiveness and mercy from Allah is not just a ritual, but a transformative journey. Allah's mercy is boundless. His doors are always open, and no matter how far we may feel, we are never beyond Allah's forgiveness.
Will always be in Allah's mercies.
Yes, Jazakallah Karen. So the step for today is let's reflect, repent, and renew our connection with our Creator Allah. Remember the verse of the Holy Quran that says, "Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins." On behalf of myself and the entire team, I want to say a big thank you. And to our listeners for tuning in and engaging with us, even though I think our phone line was a bit, we had the technical issue today. A special thank you to our guests, Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba, the producer Ayomide, and the engineer Ilari, for making this broadcast possible. And to MPAC and Women Radio for the support and collaboration. Until next time, may Allah's mercy and forgiveness continue to envelop us. Ameen. Enjoy the rest of your weekend with this Nasheed, "Hold My Hands" by Mazin.